This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Much appreciation to B. Scott for sitting in for an hour here in the loop on a Tuesday. Shout out to who won, in fact, Figgy? Who was the winner of that four-pack of tickets?
Juan.
Oh, Juan. Shout out to Juan.
Yeah. We were talking country music on that one.
That's right. There was a lot of country music talk in the break.
Hot 100%.
And I'm not pointing nobody out, though. I'm going to make sure that I'm not pointing anybody out.
No, of course.
Don't do that. I can see it in your face.
Yeah,
you have to do that thing.
He's trying to do it.
I had to intercept it.
I knew it.
I had to intercept it.
I got cut off.
Yeah,
man, I'm
going
to honk my horn on this one.
I had to get my all-pro sting on. Let me
hit
that
right quick. Man, I'm trying to drive here.
No, all right.
What's up, show?
All right. What?
You know he had to do it.
I thought I got him. I thought I had picked it off. Apparently the ball's still in there. But no, we are well into draft week, or not draft week, combine week. That'd be something entire. I would have missed an entire month.
Draft week. What happened?
Combine week. And action is getting going on Thursday, mm-hmm. but coaches are talking already. All sorts of coaches. Really interesting stuff coming, and maybe mm-hmm. I'll get you some of those quotes. But D'Amico Ryans is set to talk to the assembled media in probably about
a few minutes, yeah.
10, 15 minutes. And so we'll try and get you some audio, if possible, at least some of the notions that he distills to the audio, or to the media soon. But also with the combine, like, people are there to see the players as well, and the players mm-hmm. matter in a good amount, a good deal. You, John Lopez, got into the college or into the draft prospect spirit of things. And you have some questions about
I do have
this.
Some questions, and it's your fault because you were asking on air and off about, like, you know, players that we're all going to be. We all have different levels of interest and expertise when it comes to the draft, and we all, especially in this industry, we consume a lot of information, starting with Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl and prospects and all that. So, but we haven't really seen these guys on the field yet. We haven't really dug in on the combine field. And we haven't really dug in on players that, you know, we sort of gravitate to.
Yeah, we got
to
get the underwear Olympics. The underwear Olympics?
No, the something.
Oh, the pet cat.
The pet cat.
Yeah, pet cat. My guy Brian Broaddus, who is a Super Bowl winning scout. Like, that's the phrasing that he uses.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is my pet cat.
Yeah.
Which I do have one, in fact. I don't think I...
But you, are you ready to share? Because it's still early, but anyway, I'm warming up to pet cat, by the way. It sounds a little more masculine than camp and combine crush or draft.
Are cats
crush.
Masculine? Like having a cat?
But, you know, I say cat a lot. That's one of the things, like that cat, you know, this cat.
Ah, yeah, like hit cat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm warming up.
Cool cat.
Yeah, yeah, I'm warming up to that. But nevertheless, from what we know now, from all the digging in that we've done so far, all the college football that we've consumed over the last year or so, so I got some questions for you of what we know now. This could change, and maybe we'll ask these questions again as we get closer to the draft and have talked to more people and seen more things, et cetera.
Excellent.
So I'm going to ask you three questions. And it doesn't have to be, there is no right answer, but there's a right answer for you. Like, of all the guys that have been talked about, you know, in this draft and players that we've seen in college football, who scares you? Who scares you as a prospect? I've got a couple names, but go ahead, and I don't know if you have any that
scare in a good way or
scare in a bad way.
Bad way, like stay away from this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if I'm fully in stay away from this guy mode on any of these. I think it's more just like, huh, I'm not quite sure what to do with them. And they're actually on the higher side of things. Well, I mean, outside of the obvious ones, which is like the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We talk about Shador, talk about Cam Ward. Because
I feel like that's obvious. Yeah, yeah.
One of them is actually a name that is frequently mocked to the Texans early on, and that's Tyler Booker. And that shouldn't be, like, that is a dude who played at Alabama, solid weight, solid length, but first 2 years at Alabama was relatively inconsistent. And, I mean, he had an All-American season in his junior year. But then also, and this is where mock drafts can be helpful, but then they can also pill you, like, you know, be a little bit poisonous. I've seen him mocked in a lot of various different places as supposedly one of the better interior offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And so I've seen him, you know, go really early in the, like, 10 to teens. I've seen him go, like, be ranked, like, 40 when it comes to, like, players. And so that's a little uncomfortable for me, although, like, that still all feels like a really good player.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not a huge deal necessarily, but it's like, are you getting the dude who is absolutely going to step in and be a immediate impact player?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you getting the guy who's like, oh, you get him, but you can see the process.
Yeah.
You can see the potential, but he has to work, because that sounds a little bit more like Blake Fisher than a guy that you step in and you go, hey, in a season that we want to win immediately, is this guy going to be someone that we can drop in and feel very, very good about what he does?
Yeah,
that's one of the guys. And then the other one is Luther Burden, interestingly enough. Like, I think
the receiver,
yes, Luther Burden out of Missouri. And he was the entire offense for them last year. And I do wonder how much of, like, his seeming limitations were because of the limitations of the offense and them just kind of having to get him the ball behind the line. They got him the ball behind the line a ton last year, to the point where it was like, yo, like, we've seen him, in fact, be a really good player downfield. Like, at some point, are we limiting him? Is this going to be cause some level of adverse effects?
Yeah.
He's still regarded as a true first round grade guy. So maybe that is just like oversized or outsized. But just the idea that, hey, like, what is this actually going to look like when you get him up to speed? I think I'm interested.
Yeah, there's a couple for me. And one, I can't quite put my finger on why he scares me. Other than it might be like a Johnny Manziel factor, not in terms of personality.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoa.
Yeah, not personality.
They're going to get us for slander if you're not careful.
Not personality and off-field stuff or whatever. Just like amazing college football player. Like undeniably.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Amazing college football player. But is it going to transfer? Cam Scadabo.
Very good.
Cam Scadabo.
Arizona State. Running back.
That guy was amazing. He deserved all the accolades. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to translate, you know, whether it's speed, size, combination. And you don't have to be a real big guy or a real fast guy to be a successful NFL running back. But something about that dude just doesn't seem to want to translate to me to the NFL.
Well, I mean, but he also, like, he's big and he's a little slow. And we'll see what the actual testing is. Although the testing, again, dudes are prepping for the testing. Like, you're not, the 40-yard dash is not a good...
A good, especially running back. Of, like, you know, there are guys that run 4.5s that are great,
right? Especially now that we have more of this
4.6.
Now that we have GPS tracking, like that's a better idea. Like, in the circumstance that you're actually going to be using your speed, what are the speeds that you get up to is probably more telling. But I imagine all of that will still tell you, hey, that man is not particularly super duper fast. But yeah, man, Cam Scadabo, like, you're right. He very much might be one of my favorite types of things in sports, which is just the elite college player. Like, he doesn't have to be a pro. And I feel like I kind of hate the way that college football has gone.
Yeah, they should stand on that.
Where dudes, like, if they are not good pros.
Nothing wrong with it.
We don't acknowledge the fact that they were incredible college players. Like, I think the last of those, or maybe this isn't right, but like what feels like the last of the guys that we readily acknowledge that with is Tim Tebow, where he was awful in the pros. We're like, dog, he was so good at Florida.
Amazing.
And Scadabo very much feels like he profiles kind of like that. Where it's like, yo, all the things, all the metrics that you would use to project success at the next level, not necessarily there. He just got grit. He just got that thing, like the want to, the will, the it factor, the X factor. That's what it seems
you
like.
You shouldn't have to apologize for being an amazing college football player, but it's separate when you get to the NFL.
Correct.
The other one, I'm very, very familiar with this guy, and he's been shooting up boards. He dominated at the Senior Bowl, all kinds of run from all the experts, Shamar Stewart. The defensive end from A&M has just been dominating. And I look at him, and I've seen this for 3 years, and I'm like, where's the production? You know, he's
a traitsy guy.
He is, yes, the measurable king, you know, and dominated against some, you know, first-round talent in the Senior Bowl. Where's this been? Why is the production not there? You know, there's something about him that is just like, yeah, he's amazing. He's an amazing athlete to watch. I haven't seen it.
Should I be a jerk?
Go ahead.
Because he was playing A&M?
No, it wasn't because he was playing at A&M. Because they had, they've had some players.
No, absolutely. They've had very good players.
Very recently come to, I'm like, I think this is a guy that just first off the bus, last on. You know, first off the bus, because you want everybody to see the figure that he cuts, but last on because he just hasn't produced.
Now, one of the things I love about, or actually I say I love, but I actually hate about the draft build up time is player comps. I think it's just so unfair because, at the high end, this player could be that. Except once you invoke a name, that is what's stuck in people's heads. Even if you were just trying to say one particular thing, it becomes like all encompassing in a way that almost becomes fair and levels some expectation. That being said, there's some player comps coming in on the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line from the 281. Cam Scataboo, he could be like a Peyton Hillis type, which he might have to fight you, dear Texter. Like, I feel like that's not fair to him, right? Like, what are you trying to do? You putting the ceiling at Peyton Hillis?
Peyton Hillis type. I think he's a poor man's McCaffrey.
Okay.
And that's not just because they're poor. Well,
yeah, I was about to say, I wonder why.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think he's kind of a poor man.
Did he do a schism right quick? Is that what happened? I think he did a schism.
I didn't. I'm just saying that's the type of, because he can catch the ball a little bit too and all that stuff. Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to pivot to.
Which players are overhyped? Like, you're seeing it and you're like, it might be a little bit much for him. Because I got one. I'll get away from the Aggie on Aggie crime and do traditional Aggie on Texas crime. Hate or whatever. I think Quinn Ewers is a little overhyped.
I was kind of thinking about another Texas player, and I was going to say Bond. I feel like, here's the tough part about it. Speed, you can't coach that, right? Like, that speed is going to be useful. I think that, and it's just a little. Like, I feel like he's probably it might just be here being in this bubble where you're a lot of people have a proximity to Texas. And, you know, you have that. When you have that feel, you might, like, overrate or whatever. Feels like he's just a little bit less good than we're giving him credit for, but not that he's not. But, yeah, I don't think under what circumstances are you saying Quinn Ewers is overrated? Because is it that same feeling hype, where it feels like there's a hype?
Yeah.
I don't know that there are many people that are viewing him that highly.
Behind him right now?
He's pretty hyped. Yeah, I mean, some people have him, you know, fourth or fifth. Which is not necessarily, you know, one or two, but I mean, you know,
amongst quarterbacks. I don't know if that's overhype. I think that's just, hey,
that sounds about right.
There's not very good quarterbacks. Yeah, that's really just the quarterback landscape has shifted, because in previous years, four or five could have you in the first round. Nowadays, you day two, maybe day three, depending.
That's true. That's fair. Well, the other one's a quarterback as well, and he's been gaining traction in the offseason. We'll see once they get going here at the combine, which is why we're talking about this, and that's Dylan Gabriel, the Oregon quarterback. That dude's like 5'9". They list him at 6 foot. He's like 5'9", 5'10".
But you got to get short people, man.
That's crazy, man. Although, to be fair, I'm making jokes. Like, if there was going to be a place where you're looking at, like, traits and stuff and, like, disqualifying people on certain things, hell, how many times do we get to this time of year and everybody's like, hands too small, dog.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can't come
arms
in the club.
Are too long or
hands
too short.
Must be this big in order to get into the club, dog. Sorry.
Yeah, and if he is, like, that short, he got to be, he should have been balling out, like, on some, what's the guy name that got drafted after before CJ?
Bryce Young?
He gotta be on some Bryce Young type of stuff.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
He ain't
about
that.
Him. Yeah, and I guess the one thing, especially when you're short, it feels like, or I mean just with any quarterback, but particularly when you're short, you gotta have a thing that you win with, right?
Like, yes.
Drew Brees was crazy accurate. And that was the thing that helped him overcome the fact that he was short.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, for the times that he was good, the mobility and the ability to extend plays and then also just like move around to find the throwing windows if you're not able to kind of see over the line, that was the thing that he had elite capabilities at
Kyler Murray.
Help him make over.
Kyler Murray.
Also that mobility, able to help him make up for the height. I do wonder, what is that thing for Dylan Gabriel?
I don't know.
I don't know that he has.
I don't know. Out there. Now, let's get to something here real quick. We haven't made a decision on, but you're intrigued.
Intrigued.
You're intrigued by maybe an under-the-radar player. I called it small school because that's generally the type of player.
Well, as soon as you say small school in this draft, everybody's going to say Gray Zabel.
That's the one.
Because he cooked.
He cooked.
At the Senior Bowl. He got a lot of love to the point where I don't know that how highly he was on draft boards, but he shot up them. People were all
he's
going to
be
like,
at the combine now.
My bad. He's so much better because when you're working off of tape, which I think a lot of teams do, The quality and competition that you're going against matters, right? If you want to see them in an NFL context, seeing them play against NFL caliber talent matters. You're not going to get that in North Dakota State. You get that a little bit closer at the Senior Bowl, and it was like, oh, okay, no, this is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to be the guy that you look at there. I don't know that there's another one that comes to mind.
The running back for me from Delaware, because Delaware is one of those small school programs. Marcus Yarns is his name.
Mm.
One of those small school programs that is FCS, but not really. Like, they were always good, like kind of like North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
They're always good, and they probably are sort of like a hybrid between FBS and FCS.
I just realized mine.
Mm-hmm.
It is Jalen Royals, wide receiver out of Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not all that certain.
But you're intrigued.
I am very intrigued.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a dude who, I mean, just fluid, although he's, you know, 5'11", so he's not that short. I guess I've been viewing him a little different. But yeah, I'm interested to see exactly what that looks like.
A lot of people are in on the Quinn Ewers thing on the text board.
Like want him in?
No, like he's overhyped.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He's so good in terms of numbers and production.
But
how many times have you been like,
he was the limiting factor on that offense. Yeah, they had a whole bunch of talent. Like, obviously, how many wide receivers are we talking about being potential first, second round grades? From that particular
offense. The line was awesome.
The line was very good. Kelvin Banks Jr. is another guy who's going to be a first, like a lot of first round talent that he was playing with, and a coach that you know knows how to draw it up and start. And yeah, you saw how many times it was just like, oh, that's an errant pass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he overthrew that.
Yeah
man. He does not. That's another thing. I feel like with quarterbacks, the new prerequisite, it's no longer nice to have. It is a prerequisite for playing quarterback in the league right now is mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not have it.
Doesn't have it.
So, like, what are you drafting for? Because I don't see it.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. But we're going to find out a lot more. They are on the field on Thursday. Interviews soon. D'Amico pretty much taking the podium right now. We'll have that.
We're waiting on them right now.
It's happening, yeah.
So we're excited to hear from what D'Amico Ryans has to say. In fact, we'll cycle back around to that later in the program. What interesting things does he have to say? And hopefully he will have some interesting things to say. It'll be real sad if we're at the combine, because all these coaches are talking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be sad if we don't get, like, something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, D'Amico, show out a little bit.
Give us something.
All right, but coming up next, let's jump into our lunchtime confessions, as we are wont to do. We'll do that next on Sports Radio.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Go 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, so we're talking all kinds of stuff here with the draft and the, during the breaks and everything else, but I want to get to us. I feel bad about something. I need to confess. And we followed up on it a little bit yesterday.
Okay.
Something I probably should not have done. I feel like I got in Sean Pendergast's head with the whole the finger thing. For those.
This is funny.
It's affecting him. This was over a week ago. And he's still talking about... Okay, so for those who don't know...
Yeah, I was often, like, we probably should explain.
Oftentimes, when Sean, you know, hangs out with one of the famous people that he loves hanging out with, he'll take a picture and he'll point at him. And we've all seen people do that. Like, hey.
I think he just do that in general,
like,
too.
Like, look at
famous
this guy.
Famous or not, yeah.
And I gave him a hard time about it. I said, your nickname should be The Finger.
Which, still, not a good nickname. I understand the finger. Genesis.
The Finger. He's still texting us about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Tony Khan.
Correct.
Was... In a picture with the new general manager and head coach and all that in Jacksonville, and he was doing the finger, and Sean texted us and still said, "Well, now I don't know if I can do this." Then he ended up doubling down.
Yes, he's doubled down.
I feel bad that I got in his head like that.
Don't. I don't think you should. At least.
Yeah.
I feel like you have other things that you probably should feel bad about. That's
there's elsewhere. A number of things.
I feel like this one is fine.
It's
like
way down the list.
I think it's fair. The only thing about it, and I hear you, is just. You know that moment where you alert someone to something that they had never even realized?
Yes, and they're self-conscious.
Yeah, but I feel like this is one that he could fairly examine. I think that was something that it was fair for him to look at and think about.
But, I shouldn't have said anything.
Do you feel like he upset, or do you feel like he's leaning in?
Self-conscious.
More? Really? Okay.
I think like the next few pictures he takes with people or famous people or whatever, he's not going to do the finger.
By the way, and again, it's always funny when you say the finger, because I'm certain there's somebody who's listening that thinks that he's just middle fingering somebody. You know
no,
what I mean?
Forefinger.
No, yeah, it's just it's when he's pointing. I feel like the point would make more sense, but he's pointing.
I like the finger.
All right, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What do you do with your hands when you take a picture? Because I found, and because I recommend
I struggle
him,
with that, too.
I've started doing the H. Like, put the H town up.
Yeah.
And it has been quite positive for me. And so I'm like, do other people have other things? Or how many people actually end up doing the point at the person that they're with in the photo? You know?
Yeah. Now, if he changed his last name, which would be pretty drastic just for the sake of pictures.
I don't know. I feel like it would fit with some other things of the general ethos of his life, enjoying The Sopranos and such.
Yeah, but if he changed his last name to an Italian-sounding last name, he would sound like a badass mobster. Sean the Finger Monticelli.
Yeah, but here's
the
thing.
That's badass.
If your last name is Italian and you are the Finger, with the implications that you are in one of them families, the Finger sounds like you out here snitching.
You've offed some people, too.
don't know. The finger sounds like a rat more than it does somebody dope.
It can, but it also sounds like the guy that cut somebody's finger off during some type of interrogation.
That's his signature move.
That's the finger rake. Or either he got his finger cut off for disobeying somebody.
Or he's got a collection of fingers.
He got a half a finger, so they call him the finger.
Yeah, of people that he roughed up. See, now if he went with an Italian last name, he'd be much more respect.
Right, if you say so.
Yeah.
From 346, they say they hold their girl's butt when they take a photo.
Well, okay, that's solid.
All right. I ain't taking the photo with you. Yo, like,
I feel like you got to make sure that you keep that right there in that particular pocket. You go any further and you might have some issues, possibly of a legal variety.
Yeah.
In 713, usually it's a drink in my left hand and then there's a hot lady on the other arm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see what you're doing. So you just got to make sure you get
I'd like to apologize.
Okay, very good.
Or you could do it like Canute Reeves, how he just hold his hands up.
Yeah.
Like especially when you're taking pictures around women, he just kind of do this. So
can't get me. Hands in plain sight.
Yeah, his hands are always in plain sight.
Yep.
These are my confessions.
For some reason, this weekend I was thinking about the Athletics, as they are called, and talking about, you know, just generally how they are a bad organization. And I gotta confess, I think I have a couple of good ideas when it comes to the A's. First and foremost, I think I called them the unincorporated Athletics last week, which tickled me to no end, to be completely honest. But I think I have one up to this.
And that is?
I think, and obviously with all due respect, like I understand that, you know, I'm not making light of the situation, but I do believe that they should be called the unhoused Athletics, especially when you consider how much of a poverty franchise they are, right? And then to that end, I think with a suitable punishment for them being one of a bottom five franchise whose you know, payroll is sub 100 million.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, I got to go and actually search up their payroll, but they don't spend money. It's still a poverty franchise. And even with all that, they look cool as hell. And I feel like they need a punishment. And that should be, they should not be playing in a AAA stadium. They should be a barnstorming team.
Oh, wow.
162 road games. Like, I understand that would be hell to schedule, but they shouldn't get home games. Why? What have they done to deserve it as an organization?
Well, they do have fans.
They had a home.
They do have fans.
They had a home.
But they have A's fans.
They left it.
How many?
There's a lot of A's fans. A couple hundred? No. There's a lot of A's fans.
Yeah, they had a home and they left it. Y'all could be a barstormer team until you build a new home.
What would their record be? Holy moly. That would be... That would get ugly. I feel bad for the true blue A's fans because they're homeless. They are.
I feel bad for Oakland, man. Being a sports fan, because that was, to me, I look at that as a sports city. Just Oakland.
Yeah.
And everybody then left.
Yeah.
And that is fair. The 346, they did spend a little money this year. Like they signed Luis Urias and Luis Severino. I think there was probably someone else as well that I'm forgetting. But even then, they get no love for me. Like this is what's his man? Fisher, old boy at the top, the owner of the team. How do you a history of an organization with cheap ownership? How are you standing out as far and above the cheapest? How did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Is he expected to be cheap in Vegas?
I have no idea.
I doubt it. I doubt that will be allowed.
You have to spend some money.
Yeah.
Brent Rooker, that's right. They did end up with that. Fun.
These are my confessions.
So, shout out to the Mokarum injury lawyers. You can see our pretty faces on the YouTube stream and the Twitch. So, earlier I mentioned, I'm like, man, we need to find a drop. For them too.
Yeah.
Because we got the job for the text line. And back here, I got to confess, I was back here trying to.
You were working it?
I was brainstorming. I was trying to figure out something. And Lopez, you probably remember this commercial. And a lot of listeners who've been listening remember this commercial with Clint. And there was a young lady on the commercial too.
Oh, yeah. They did the back and forth.
Yeah. So here's a little snippet of it. And I'm going to let you know where I'm going with this.
How can Mokarum Law help them?
Look, many attorneys portray a fantasy life where accidents only occur on weekdays. But here at Mokarum Law, we keep it 100.
There we go, man.
No, that's
I love that.
You don't have to tell me again.
Yeah, so Reggie, when you start the show, tell me how you start the show.
All right, so
and how you shout out all the text line and the video streams and all that stuff.
Okay, let's see if I can get into that bag. All right. Yeah. So make sure you get involved with the program. the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text
the
line.
Texas Hammer!
713-572-4610. Or you can get us on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live stream.
We keep it 100.
100%. Let's go.
Does that work?
I think that feels good for me.
I think it feels good.
And they got to like that. I don't know if that's like a tagline that they have, but it's going to be theirs now.
It aired on our airwaves.
It was a tagline. A lot of people on the text line always crack up at that. Mm-hmm. We keep it 100.
We keep it 100.
I love it.
And we could just keep that around. There's more uses for that in general.
I love it.
I love it. Yeah,
I feel successful now, man. Yeah, I found the drop.
You know what? We accomplished something today.
Probably. Yeah.
We did.
These are my confessions.
I've been weighing not to even mention this, but I'm going to go to the barbecue cook-off on Saturday.
Okay.
Here's the confession.
What time you going, man?
Here's the confession.
Yeah, we gonna see
Hey, Reggie going too, right? You going?
Yeah, bam.
You going Saturday?
Yeah. I should be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you gonna see Reggie, right?
You can get there about tonight. 5 or 6 o'clock?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be gone for about 4 hours by then. I'm going to the barbecue cook-off. What a concept for the barbecue cook-off. I'm getting there about 9 in the morning.
9 in the morning?
And I'll be gone by 1 p.m.
Man, I didn't even know they opened that early, yeah, man.
A lot of people didn't. I'm going to go see my buddies that are in all... By the way, this is a little, you know, I know it's a little cocky, but this is pretty dang cool. There's at least 4 teams that are going to use OG sauce in the competition.
Nice.
So I'm going to go hang out with them and go check out all their cooks. And I'm going to be there for like the barbecue turn in. Y'all don't even know what this is, do you?
I know.
Like they turn in, you know, I think like chicken at 11 a.m. and ribs at 1 p.m. or brisket at 3 p.m., something like that, you know. And so they have this, it's 250 teams or thereabouts. I'm going for the barbecue cook-off. I'll be gone by 1 o'clock. Y'all tell me all about the bands and the booze and all that stuff.
I'm just hungry. That's all that did. All that confession let me know is that I'm hungry.
You need to roll with Lopez then.
I might need to. Do I need to just be there all day, though?
People go for the drunk fest.
This would be your first time, so you might as well.
Just 9 to 9, maybe?
Yeah.
Even.
Oh, wow.
It might be later than that.
That's what I'm saying. More than 12 hours in a day,
out there on your feet,
outside, out on the feet, in the parking lot, at the rodeo.
I'll be comfortably at home by about 1:30 or so.
Man.
But here's the thing. If he leaves at 1, what am I doing for that like 4 hours?
Yeah, that's
until
true.
Stuff gets popping.
You'd just be walking around. You'd probably be full, to be honest. Were you ready to
Need
go
a nap.
Home anyway?
Right, yeah. where am I taking it? Or maybe I just take it to the house and come back?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Actually, this might sound like a plan.
To be honest, there is another reason I'm leaving early. I was going to go Saturday night. But that's my 40th anniversary party.
Oh, congratulations. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good reason.
Are you going to be sleeping on the couch, or did you actually figure something out?
Well, I don't know if she's
going to show up. What y'all doing, going fishing?
I don't even know if she's
going to
show up.
Going to a fishing show?
She may not show up.
Hey, babe, we going to a fishing show. I got to work.
You're dang right. Maybe I'll take her to the barbecue. To go see all the pitmasters.
Yeah, so you can check on
check on the OG sauce.
All about you.
Watch all these pitmasters turning in their meat.
She gonna have to take you antiquing, man.
You gotta go
antiquing for the rest of the year. Yeah. Every weekend for the rest of the year.
Does Jan like hiking? Because that feels like something that you need.
She actually, that's one of her favorite things.
Yeah, you about to be hiking.
That's one of her favorite things.
Hike your ass somewhere else.
Hike over here.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are our confessions, our lunchtime confessions on this Tuesday. Coming up next, let's jump out to West Palm Beach. As the Astros are playing baseball right now against the Mets, let's check in with Seth Payne of Payne and Pendergast out in West Palm Beach and get an update, a lay of the land there. We'll do that next.
Live from the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We got so excited with draft talk and confessions that we didn't even turn our channel, man. We needed to turn our channel to make sure that we could see Astros baseball, baby.
What's the score?
It is 2-1, in fact. Actually, you know what? I shouldn't have given it to you. I should have asked our guest, the man who you heard not more than 3 hours ago on these very airwaves. In fact, you hear him. You know him. You love him. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every weekday on Payne and Pendergast. He is the aforementioned Payne of Payne and Pendergast, Seth Payne. What's happening, my man?
Hey, guys. I'm sitting out here in deep right field on a concourse drinking a beer and enjoying baseball. It's beautiful out here.
Excellent.
And we've seen contributions from both Paredes and Christian Walker so far already. So that's good vibes, especially because Paredes walked, displayed some of that incredible plate discipline that he's known for. And then Christian Walker had a nice hit past Jose Siri, former Astros great Jose Siri. And it's hard to hit past Jose Siri into deep center. So both those guys got on the board, and then Victor Caratini got on a double, and both those guys, both Paredes and Walker, came home. So that is why it's 2-1, because two of the new additions in a very, very meaningful spring training game have scored already.
It's only as meaningful as you make it, and I choose to make it very meaningful. Oh, and just an update for you, because we get to see like the box score and such, as I'm sure you're just kind of with your radar gun and everything and really in scout mode, not paying attention to such things.
Yeah, of course, yes. Yeah. In my beer, yes.
Yeah, the Caratini hit was actually ruled an error because it looks like it bounced off the first baseman's foot, but still.
Oh, that's right. Okay, the Caratini, yeah, I said it was an error. He scored it. He got on base on an error.
Okay, my bad. I must have missed that.
I might have misspoken.
It happens. It happens. But otherwise, I thought that was a very excellent recap of what happened. It actually told us a lot. Is both of the new additions. I decided to bring negativity to the party, though. I hope that you'll be okay with that, because it seems like of right now, Ronel Blanco is has a 9 ERA. Like, do we have to get rid of him? What's happening?
Well, there was an error where Acuna got on base, but then he went to steal second, and Victor Caratini had a wild throw that got him to third. So I don't know if that's chalked up. So I don't know what his calculated ERA is right now. But there was at least a pretty bad error by Caratini in that sequence.
You know, the interesting thing.
I thought he looked.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Otherwise, I thought he looked fine. I think, you know, he was letting up some contact, but it's, you know, I'm gonna be the baseball guy that acts like a pitcher can get shelled for 27 runs and it's no big deal.
Well, that's kind of where I was going, yeah. Seth. If you're going to be the baseball guy, like the starting pitchers, and we talked about this earlier, and you know, the starting pitchers, they usually just kind of work on stuff, so not a whole lot to read from Blanco. But I feel like the pitchers that are upcoming are the ones you got to watch, because those are the ones that are still trying to make, you know, Forrest Whitley, Wisniewski. Yeah. Those are the guys, and you talk with Adam Spillane all the time. I heard him with you guys this morning. I mean, those are the guys that you need to watch.
I think Jose Siri just hit a home run off of Blanco.
Doesn't matter. See, I just said it. Doesn't matter.
It's annoying, too. These spring training games kind of suck sometimes, too, because like there is no traveling to the game, so there's a bunch of Mets fans here, so it feels there's a resounding ovation there for Jose Siri in his home run. I think, you know, defensively, Paredes had a chance to go out and snag a deep foul ball into left field, and it would have been a really tough catch. I was trying to figure out whether I don't think that's one that Bregman necessarily would have made. It would have been a really tough catch for anybody. Christian Walker had to dive for a line drive that he couldn't get to. It ended up being a base hit, but I know for damn sure that Jose Abreu wouldn't have gotten it. So far, so good.
Oh, no. See, like, I feel like I was joking, throwing out negativity with the 9 ERA. That's because he allowed a single run in the first inning, and that's the only inning that he has.
Well,
at this point, he's keeping pace with another run given up in the second. But no, I do feel good that at least that you know, you qualified it with that. Hey, it was a tough play to make by Walker there. I'm interested, just like, what are the general vibes? You described that you're on the road, but like, what are the spring training vibes out there, especially
it's all good. You know, I got to talk to a couple of Astros fans, one of which I knew, Nick Sturfeld, that we ran into him because he's here. He used to work for the Texans. But he and the guys he was with were disappointed because they were hoping that they might see Jose Altuve in left field. I had to break the news to him that that's probably not going to be until Thursday at the earliest. But the general, just from talking to a few fans here, I think they share what a lot of us feel, which is, okay, this is a different kind of spring training. It's kind of cool to have new additions and then some of the younger guys that you've got to get excited about. And, you know, Wisniewski will probably pitch today. He's a Houston kid that's got a lot of promise. People in Chicago speak highly of him as a guy that maybe has untapped potential. So, you look at some of those guys and think about running them through the Astros car wash. there's things to get excited about, but it's just a different, it's a completely different vibe than what we're used to in Houston. But from the several fans that I've talked to here, whether they talk themselves into it or they're just enjoying the change of pace, it's all that renewed excitement that you expect in spring training.
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing is, you know, second base, you know, we've talked about this as well. Arenado, it doesn't seem like it's got the legs that it had just yesterday. And so now second base becomes a focal point with Dubon and Guillorme, I guess, is the other
one. Guillorme's up there. Brendan Rodgers is another one that you consider there. Probably Zach Short is the fourth.
So that you got to keep your eyes peeled on second base for us.
I will. I was like, I'm going to take this in as a fan, and it's going to be awesome. And then I realized, okay, I don't have my – now I got to be on my phone with my depth chart on me and everything as the guys start to rotate through.
Sorry.
So mostly I'll probably just get drunk for the rest of the game.
Good for you.
I like this. This is where I was going to pivot the interview to anyway. So we're talking to Seth Payne of Payne and Pendergast, 6 to 10 a.m. And courtesy of Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors, him and Sean and Adam Spillane are out in West Palm Beach watching a little bit of spring baseball. Are we doing the 9 for 9 challenge? Are we getting 9 hot dogs, 9 beers, and trying to take it all the way through this thing?
Oh, God, no. Oh, no. No, I'm not prepared for anything like that. They're serving some kind of concoction out there behind the lawn to the right of the scoreboard. I'll probably hit that and a couple other things, but I'm going to try to limit it to 3 hot dogs today. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's 74 degrees. They had an 11 minute rain delay. So, it's just a slight downpouring. It's like, and Blanco just let up another hit. But he's doing fine, guys.
He's doing great. He's good. Don't worry about Blanco.
Yeah, we might need to get you off the phone. It feels like this has been happening since we talked to you.
I will say this. Guillorme has a magnificent beard.
Guillorme?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Terrific.
we can definitely talk about that. I'm out in left field, and I'm behind Gamble. I don't want to speak too loud. There's not that many fans here. I don't want to distract him.
Oh, okay.
Blanco's almost definitely going to give up another hit soon.
Yeah, that's fair. Seth,
Christian Walker just go for another one and then get to it. Jose Abreu totally would have had that one.
All right. Things are falling apart here as we talk to Seth Payne live.
I love the play-by-play.
Jose Abreu's glove at first base.
Oh, no. All right.
Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, it seems like our live coverage of this game is really falling apart, and the season is now over. I think that's what we have to take from this. No, what I was going to ask you is, like, I know you're in left field, but I imagine that you've kind of been able to move around. Have you actually been able to scout or catch any scouts, like, out there for real? Like, have you been able to see anybody that you should then model yourself after?
No, I haven't really been looking. I'm going to have Sean on that detail here in a minute.
What is like? Where is Sean? What's Sean and Parker up to? Because is Spo out there with you as well?
He's up in the press. They're all in the press box.
Oh, man.
Sellouts.
Taking down notes and everything. Mm-hmm. They're destroying what I used to think of as a game, is what they're doing. They've taken this great American pastime of ours, and they've turned it into actual work just because they're actually working.
The best part about spring training from my years doing it is, like, when they take these guys out of games, you can actually go down to the clubhouse and talk to them during the game. So you can get down there. You got your pass. You can get down there and talk to, like, Blanco or whomever when they come out. And so you'll be able to get some very, very candid interviews with these guys already.
I'm going to have to get Blanco my beer, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like you might need – we might need to let you go so you can go talk to him now. It seems like he's exited the game, huh?
Yeah, I got really confused when I was when you guys came on, because I was listening to the TV broadcast and I got very confused. Any more like way more confused than I typically am.
Okay,
when you guys came on with me. I didn't realize you were actually on with me. All right, so I'm out. I might work my way over to left field.
I love this.
There's a chance Blanco's going to let up a home run. I want to have a crack at it.
Yeah. All right, very good. Before we let you go, is there anything else that you feel like we need to know from your vantage point on the day out at this Astros-Mets game?
You know what I would say, honestly, realistically, like, Prentice and Walker, it's just nice to see them in person. It's nice to see them do something offensively. There's nothing they can do to perhaps bail out Blanco right this moment. But they've got enough of the starters playing today Jake Myers in center field. You got Chaz McCormick out there in left field. And it's kind of confirmation. They're like, okay, yep, they got a real baseball team. They got a team that should 100% make the playoffs. And from there, we'll see as the season unfolds.
All right, we appreciate your service, good sir. Sorry for giving you some level of confusion. And I think that we might not call you again this week because this time we called you and everything went to hell. So I apologize.
Okay, I apologize for that.
No, I think it's your fault. I don't think it's your fault. I think you've been doing a fantastic job.
Like a deformed rabbit's foot. Yeah. Like an iguana.
All right. Hey, did you do any more iguana recon?
Oh, that's a good point. Good question.
I didn't have time. I had to get over here and do this crack baseball reporting for
it. All right.
All right. All right. So we expect tomorrow to hear more iguana recon if you possibly could.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the game, my man. There it is. Just hanging up on us. He was fed. It's the iguana question that did it to him.
The iguana question.
He was like, "How dare you?"
Yes.
He's like, "I will suffer no more of this." But yeah, Seth Payne, live from West Palm Beach during I feel like that call went as poorly as you could ask for, at least when it came to the results on the diamond.
I kind of enjoyed it.
It was fun for me. I just did not like it for the team, as during the course of that, it was a couple of hits and a run by Ronel Blanco,
yes,
which is a little disconcerting. But yeah.
Now it gets interesting on the pitcher's mound, though.
It does. Hayden Wesneski.
He's trying to earn a spot. Same thing with the next one with I think Forrest Whitley's next.
Yeah, I think this is when we need to really lock in.
And come on, Seth. Lock in now. Let's get some stats.
Of course, I say that, but we got to keep doing the show. If you don't remember, again, we are also working here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Mm-hmm. So coming up next, let's continue to work, except from West Palm Beach, we go to Indy. The head coach of your Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, has been talking to the Assembled Media. What is he saying in Indy, and what is pertinent? We'll talk about that next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.